Well, good morning, Lighthouse. Welcome to 2013. Amen. We've got a God that can make this a year that no politician could ever even hope to attain to. Amen. We are not dependent on the government. We are not dependent on ourselves. We are dependent upon our Savior who has never failed. What will be different in 2013? Today's message is a sequel to last year's message on January the 1st, which was entitled, What Will Be Different in 2012? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Today's our first sermon of a brand new year. So what does the Lord have in store for us in 2013? I went back and I read the message that the Lord sent to us back on January 1 of 2012. I found it very interesting to look at the challenge the Lord presented to us at the beginning of last year, and then to compare it with what really is different today, 1 year later. A short recap of last year's message is that Jesus won't be different. He will not be different in 2013 or 2012. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. With a few exceptions, like an earthquake or something here and there, the earth is not going to be different. It's not going to catch fire and blow away in 2013. It takes a little longer than that. Our church won't be different in 2013, meaning that we're still going to be committed to winning souls. We are still going to be committed to filling this church with real saved people. Amen? Amen. Amen. And we're still going to be committed to making His praise glorious and bringing to the Lord all the glory we possibly can and learn how to do it better. Amen? That's our commitment at this church. So the conclusion of last year's message was that if anything is going to be different in 2012, it was going to have to be us. It's going to have to be me. I got a real kick out of an email sent to us this week by one of our deacons. It was a New Year's Day prayer. And there was this picture of this little gopher, or I guess prairie dog. He was praising the Lord. He had his arms up like that. It's amazing. Animals know how to do it, and we just have a hard time with it. What is that? It's a dear Lord, please give me this year a skinny body and a fat bank account. And Lord, please don't get those mixed up like you did last year. Amen. Amen. I just thought that was precious. I had to share it with you. Most of you probably got it anyway, but many of you were here on January 1st of 2012, and you received that very challenge I'm referring to that the Lord gave us on that day. So how are you different from what you were like in 2012? Let me remind us that when God sends us His message every week, it is not for our entertainment. Were that true, Brother Gary and I would certainly be better looking, I'm sure, than we are right now. But it is sent with a requirement that we act upon it. Amen? This is not just exercise. He sends these messages for us to act upon. Your circumstances may have changed to some degree or another. They always do, don't they? But what I'm asking you is, how are you different than you were 1 year ago today? I am to some degree wiser than I was a year ago. Thank God it's right. And hopefully much more will come. I stand before you 33 pounds lighter than last year at this time. So that's different. Lisa and I are somewhat closer to being debt-free than we were 1 year ago today. We have, to a degree, not nearly enough, but we have reduced the clutter in our lives to some degree and have become better managers of our time. The more you fill your life with, the more you're required to be a good manager of your time. And I have one more complete journey through God's Word under my belt now than I had last year at this time. And that's been an absolute blessing. You see, we really can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We don't realize what the value of that promise is, but we really can. You don't have to stay like you are. Some of you have learned this very truth in 2012. You've figured it out. You really can do all things through Christ. Some of you have overcome harmful addictions in 2012, and today you're now free. Oh, precious. That's priceless. Some of you have learned how to love your spouse in 2012. And now there's mostly peace in your home, except for an occasional relapse now and then. I guess we're all going to have a few of those. Just to remind us what it used to be like, right? 21 of you, and maybe more, at least 21 of you that have reported, and we have your names, have read all the way through your whole Bible in 2012. Some of you for the very first time ever. 21. Isn't that awesome? Some of you have attained a level of strength and faith and confidence in the Lord that is absolutely night and day different than it was 1 year ago today. Some of you became soul winners in 2012. First time you ever won somebody to the Lord was in 2012. However, some of you should be and frankly could be standing here very different than 1 year ago, but sadly you're not. Some of you have become Christians, but you're still trying to fit in with the world, and thus you're very frustrated, and you will continue to be frustrated until you are willing to come out from the world and to separate yourselves unto the Lord. If you're born again, you have God's promise that He will empower you and to make every good change that needs to be made in your life. He's going to do that for you, with your cooperation, of course. Psalm 84 and 11, this promise is just amazing. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. That is priceless. It just is. You have examples all around you of other believers who have successfully gone where you need to go, who have successfully done what you need to do, and who have successfully changed what you need to change. Ephesians 3 and 20 speaks of our God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You have God's promise. You have the proof. They're all around you. And you have the power, if you're born again, because Christ lives in you. There is no reason that you ought to stay a slave to your old addictions. There's no reason for it. There is no reason that you ought to stay frustrated and unhappy. Jesus designed a life of joy for His children, and He wants every one of us to experience it every single day. There's no reason that your marriage should not flourish in the Lord, at least on your side of it. There's no reason you ought to keep suffering financially. Our God is not broke. He is an amazing provider. There's no reason for your life to continue being wasted on that which has no eternal value. So what's it going to be? Is it going to be another year of the same old? Or is it going to be a praise report next January when your life is night and day different from what it is today? That's what it can be, because we truly can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Today we're going to simply recap some of the things the Lord has taught us over this it's more than a year, actually. No way I could recap it all. We're just going to give you a summary of what the Lord has pointed out for us today. And I hope this is going to motivate you to see some real change in 2013. First of all, I want to challenge you to commit yourself to make that one change, just that one change, the Holy Spirit is leading and convicting you to make. You see, every believer knows what that is. The Lord speaks to us about it often. He reminds us of it often. He will open the Bible, and there it'll be again, and the word will be preached, and here it'll go again. And somebody's not even, no, other people don't even know what it is, but God reminds you of that one thing He really wants you to just deal with and get it done. Here's some things that's going to help you with that. Number one, don't try to go too fast or take on too much. You see, you did not accumulate all of that baggage in your life in a day or a year, did you? It took a lifetime. And it's not going to get all unpacked in a day or a year either. Some of these things are going to take a little time. But deal with the one the Lord is dealing with you about right now. Just that one. That's all you got to worry about. And again, each of us know what that is. There are people out there in the world that are staying unsaved. They've heard the gospel. They've heard about what Jesus has done for them. Some of them you've told them yourself. And yet they have bought the lie that God demands that they change their whole life just all at once, and they just don't believe they can do it. They've bought this lie that, oh, you just gotta repent of all your sins and everything's gonna be different. And they just don't have any confidence or hope they can do that. I want you to know something. Jesus is able to save you all by Himself with absolutely no help from you whatsoever. Matter of fact, that's the only way He's ever saved anybody. He does not need your help for this. And all of the changes that come afterward, they're going to come one at a time with the Lord empowering you every single step of the way. And they will not be grievous. They're not a painful thing. They are wonderful experiences that the Lord leads you through. Don't stay lost having bought a lie that you've got to do what you can't do. Jesus knows what you can and can't do. And He is the Savior, not you. Commit yourself to make a change and then get your motivation right. I could not possibly express to you how very important this is, but I'm going to try. There are many reasons to do right and to make right changes in your life. Your health, your family, what you're leading others to do, your example. There's all kinds of reasons, good reasons, to change. But there is one that makes all the difference in the world. And that one is do it for Jesus. Do it for Jesus. You see, I'll never forget, I was 26 years old when I quit smoking. I was hooked. I was completely powerless to deal with it. And until it was just about Jesus, it was just about my testimony being destroyed in front of others because of this slavery to this addiction in my life. When it became just about Him and nothing else, that day the miracle arrived. That's when the power showed up. You need to get your motivation right. You need to do what you do for the Lord Jesus. I have needed to lose weight for a long time. I did not lose this weight because of my bad knees or because of my health risk. Good reasons, those they are. I dropped this weight because I was setting a terrible example for you. And God was convicting me about it, had been for a long time. You see, I did it for Jesus. And then the power shows up. You want to see the power to do something, you do it for Jesus. You see, God says that we should challenge and that we should encourage each other. He tells us this. Hebrews 10 and 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And we need to do that. Every time we see each other, we need to encourage each other. But don't depend on someone else to keep you motivated in what the Lord wants you to do. You see, if I can talk you into it, somebody else can talk you out of it. Or you can talk yourself out of it. Let a heart that's sold out in love with Jesus be the motivation that does not go away. You see how that works? If he has your heart, the rest will follow. And if he doesn't have your heart, there's nothing left to do. And don't blame someone else if you have a setback or a failure. And certainly do not give up. There are going to be some setbacks. There's going to be some slip-ups and some failures, because sin is just, it's just like that in us. We're stuck with being sinners till we get out of this body. Do not allow a lost battle to become the outcome or to determine the outcome of the war. Once you make a commitment that you're going to change that which the Lord is dealing with you about, and once you get your motivation right and you're willing to do it for Jesus, amen? And, oh, I cannot begin to stress the importance of that. Then, next, you need to set up a plan. You're going to have a plan for what you're going to do. Here are some really good quotes. Most of these you've heard and could quote to me. And the principles for these are found throughout the Scriptures. He didn't plan to fail. He just what?
Failed to plan.
He just failed to plan. Those who succeed, they plan their work, and then what do they do? They work their plan. He that aims at nothing usually... Yeah. You see, for a Christian, simple, basic obedience is going to do a lot. It's going to place you under the regular guidance of the Lord Himself. Simple obedience, Lord says, trust Him, and He'll save you from your sins. What's He say then? He says, now you get baptized. And that's going to put you in the church. That's going to make you a part of the body. And then you show up, you be faithful in God's house. And every single week, you're going to get a set of instructions from the Lord. Every single week, He's going to motivate you, and He's going to encourage you, and He's going to show you new ground on which He wants you to step and walk. And that by itself is going to take you a long way. For the tough stuff, and some of the things that you've become addicted to, some of the things in our lives, the baggage that needs to be unpacked and changed, some of that is going to require a plan. You didn't get there overnight, and you're not going to get out from under it overnight. And we can help you with that. That's one of the reasons that the church is here and that you're a part of it. You know, our church has been around long enough now, and this is a priceless blessing, it just is, that you have plenty of friends right here in this place. And by the way, we are your friend. I don't know if you know it or not, but you're going to figure it out if you give us a chance. We are your friend. We are not your enemy. We will never be your enemy. We are your friend. And you have friends in this place who love you, who will speak to you, who will look you in the eye, who have been where you are and have been delivered from it and know how to get from where you are to where you want to be. And they know how to help you with a plan. They will help you get where you need to go. And they're willing. As a matter of fact, most of us would jump at the chance to be a blessing to you. If we could help you see some of the victories we've seen, nothing could be worth more to us than seeing that happen. And that plan is going to be based in God's Word, because those are the ones that work. Now, you need to be flexible. I say this because how many of you have noticed that when you lay out a plan to do right and to change things, it never actually goes the way you planned it would go? Have you noticed that? Well, I figured out there's a reason for that. You see, it's in Proverbs 16 and 9. It says, a man's heart devises his way. That's the laying out of the plan. But the Lord directs the steps. Just so that you will know it was the Lord and not your great plan, the Lord's going to change it just a little bit to make sure you know who's doing the job. Make sure you know where the power's coming from. And I like that. My flesh would have me forget all about who's responsible for the good stuff. Wouldn't yours? Next, always follow godly counsel. Always follow godly counsel. The power of God to overcome whatever it is that needs to be overcome in your life, to see the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives, that power is triggered by doing what Jesus commands us in His Word to do. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. Those were made to break so we'd know we're sinners and could trust Jesus. I'm talking about the New Testament commands the Lord has told every believer, this is what I want you to do. You trust me and get saved, you get baptized, you get in church, you be faithful, you work, you serve, you give me your life, and let me handle the rest. God says, 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, by the way, if you want to memorize the scripture as a young Christian that will take you and prosper you forever, this is it. 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. When you do what God tells you to do, because you want to, because you love him, because it's what we do, God turns the power valve on and allows the power of change in your life. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. How many of you could use some enemies to make peace about now? Anybody? James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be more about doing right than you are about stressing over not doing wrong. I hope you get a hold of what I'm showing you. This is something that God taught us this past year. We learned a saying this past year. God is far more concerned with the righteousness you do than the sin you don't. This is something to get a hold of, because nobody can just quit sinning. It doesn't work. Your sin has to be placed with righteous activity. It has to be replaced. It's a process. It's whatever your flesh is doing, you do something right instead, and it fills the gap. And it not only solves the problem of the wrong you're doing, it triggers the power of God because you're doing what God commanded you to do. It's an amazing thing. God is far more concerned with the righteousness you do than the sin you don't. It is doing right that replaces the wrong. Now, often those who set out to make a real change, how many would really like to make a real change? There's something in your life and you would really like to see it change this year. Okay. All right. We've all got something that God's working on us about. We know that. But often those who set out to make a real change mess it up by failure in some other area. Some of you set out last year to make some real changes, and thus far it hasn't happened. And probably it's because in some other area you're not taking care of business the way the Lord taught you to. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Sometimes we prevent the receiving of God's promises in one area when we actually negate them by foolish actions in some other area that is basic and essential. Proverbs 6 and verse 9 through 11 is a really good example of this. It says there, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? You may know what a sluggard is. Anybody know what a slug is? Slug's that slimy little critter. How fast does he move? Okay. Sluggard, modern translation of sluggard would be lazy, no good bum. Okay? I mean, that's what we're talking. How long wilt thou sleep, you lazy, no good rascal, you? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, one more push of the snooze button, that sort of thing. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You may tithe and you may give. Some of you have gotten a hold of that concept. Most everybody, actually. I told people in class this morning that everybody at Lighthouse tithes. Most people bring it. With some, God comes and gets it. Either way. Just the way it works. But God will not violate his word in order to prosper you. We know and have experienced the blessings of the promise of giving. I mean, I love to preach it because I love to see what God does. I'll tell you more about that later. But God is not going to just negate his word in order to do that. You can wipe out your entire promise by failure in another basic area. Pretty easy. Proverbs 6, verse 12, it says, a naughty person, A wicked man, that's a talking about the same thing, walks with a froward mouth. He winks with his eyes. He speaks with his feet. He teaches with his fingers. And we're not even going there. Frowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. You may be faithful to come to God's house. But if you don't clean up your mouth, and if you don't clean up your heart, and some of these other things that God's pointing out here, there are going to be consequences that are going to come. It's going to be. Count on it. Gossiping, the voicing of discord, those things will shut down the power of God in your life faster than anything I know. You can be doing so good in another area and let one of these things get out of control, and you'll build a brick wall right in front of your progress, and you won't go one inch further until you get that fixed. That's happened to you, some of you, in 2012. And you need to know what the problem was. Proverbs 6 and verse 16 says, these six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Now, you would think that there would absolutely be no Christian who would ever do any of this stuff right here. Whatever the list is, surely no Christian could be active in this. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Wow. God hates these things. They're abominations unto God. A prideful attitude, an uncontrolled tongue, the sowing of discord among God's people. Well, I know the preacher said this, but I think it's this. And that's what that is, you know. These are things in our sinful flesh nature, and they will put a brick wall right in front of your progress, and you will not experience the change. The power will not be there. We've got to take heed and pay attention to the other things around our life and make sure that we're on the right track. What do you do if you're seeking a change and it's just not working, and you just don't have the power that you... Well, he had the power to change. Look at him. He's free from this mess. She had the power to change. Look at their life. They're doing fine. Lord, why don't you do that for me? That's exactly what you need to do. You need to ask, Lord, why aren't you doing that for me? And then you need to shut up and listen. Amen? Amen. And then you need to shut up and listen. Because usually the truth of the matter is you likely already know why the Lord isn't doing that for you. You likely already know what that other area is that you're not dealing with. Maybe as basic as just keeping your mouth shut sometimes. Do not be found on the wrong side. You see, our Lord is a God of peace. In Hebrews chapter 13, there at the end of the book, Paul says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, that means complete, in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Isn't that what we're talking about today? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord is a God of peace, but our Lord is also a divider. Matthew 10 and verse 34, Jesus said, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Some of you are experiencing that because of your stand for the Lord in your life. Never, ever reject the Word of God. Do you know what you're doing when you reject God's Word? Let me read you this in Hebrews 4 and 12. For the Word of God is quick That means alive. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. John chapter 1 tells us that Jesus is the Word, that He's made flesh and dwells among us. So if you're rejecting the Word, what else are you rejecting? Who are you rejecting? You're rejecting the Lord. I am constantly amazed at how the message of God's Word affects different people. The message that I preach every single week affects different people in different ways. Some of it's wonderful, and some of it's tragic. Most of you know that I love to preach on giving. I just do. When God lets me do that, I just rejoice in it because it's one of my favorite things. And those of you who have risen to the challenge know exactly why I love it so much. It's cool to watch God do what He does. It just is. Heart of Purpose Sunday at Lighthouse Baptist Church, the day where we choose, we purpose in our heart what we're going to give. Every December, we've been doing it for, 10, 12 years now. And you know that on Heart of Purpose Sunday, you're probably going to hear something in the message about tithing or giving. I mean, it's just kind of, you know, don't you kind of expect it? Okay? Okay, so here we are, Heart of Purpose Sunday, this year in December. Same exact message, two different people. Two opposite reactions. Word got back from me, from one. All Pastor Dill talks about is tithing. I'm sick of it. I'm never coming back to Lighthouse Church again. It broke my heart. Sure does. Breaks yours too. Same message, a different person. Another came to me personally. Remember, same exact message, same one. Pastor, I had to come thank you. And he explained how he was upset over being accused of robbing God, and which is what you do if you don't tithe, if you don't bring a tithe. And he said, after I got over being upset, we started tithing. And you're never going to believe what God did the very next week. It's just, I mean, am I going to believe it? Yeah, I've heard the story every time a new believer started tithing. I've watched it every single time. How many of you have a story like that? All over the building. Now, the Word of God divides us. Do not allow the Word of God to set you off to the outside. You want to be on the World's Dumbest Christians video, that's how to get there, okay? Just don't do that. If you hear something you disagree with, what God say you need to do? Go talk to your brothers and sisters about it? No, you come talk to me. Will I receive you? Of course I will. This is not a big church where nobody gets to talk to the pastor. You can call me. My cell phone number is published. I will sit down with you as a brother and a friend, and we will have a wonderful, peaceful discussion on whatever it is. And we'll get to the bottom of the misunderstanding, and 99 times out of 100, that's exactly what it is, a misunderstanding. And you won't have been divided from the rest of God's people because the Word of God had to cut you out. Does it break my heart to see someone that I have loved and that I have poured my life into say, we're never coming back? Yeah, it absolutely is the most painful part of what I do. It breaks my heart. But should we have sacrificed the great blessing that the one received to keep someone a little longer who didn't want to really be here anyway? No. That's not how the Word of God works. It's a moot point anyway because I don't get to choose what I preach. Most of you know that by now. Because I'm not smart enough to preach what I preach. And you know that too. I preach what God gives me. I told the earlier congregation that if God lets me preach on tithing every single week in 2013, you're going to hear about it every single week of 2013. Now, I don't expect he'll do that, but whatever he gives me is what you're going to get. Is that what you want?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do not be one. Do not be that one who finds himself on the wrong side. The consequences are far greater than you could ever imagine. When the sword of God's word goes forth, it is either going to prune you and plant you deeper. It's going to cause your roots to go even deeper than they are. Or it's going to simply cut you out and it's going to divide you from those who are willing to receive it. It happens all the time. Do not be one who finds himself on the being cut outside of God's word. So what needs to change for you? We're about done here. What's going to be different in 2013? Will you commit yourself to that change the Lord wants you to make? You know the one I'm talking about. Will you set up a plan and get started? Will you do that? Some of you could have won many people to the Lord in 2012. You are equipped. You even know how to do it. Yet because you were not committed to a plan and a schedule, few or maybe none were won in your life. Simply because you didn't plan your work and then work your plan. Some of you are still addicted to something pretty vile. Oh, you tried to give it up, but you didn't get some other things right, and you found no power to get the job done. Was that God's fault? Was it him that just didn't provide the power, so he must not really want me to change? Is that how it is? Or was it you? How many of you can say it was me? It was me. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. Is it going to be another year lost, another year of bondage? Or will it be a praise report next January? Like none ever before it. Do you realize that that's what God is offering you today? You take these principles, you put them to work, and you watch God do what you cannot do. He's going to do this. He's going to change your life. Real changes. He's going to make you different. You have the promise. You have the proof. We're all around you. And you have the power in you. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's where the power comes from. If you get your motive right, let me ask you this. What have you ever done that was really just for Jesus and not for yourself? What have you done that was just for him? Most haven't done much of anything that was just for him. Well, I did this because I needed that, or because I should do this, or because I... How about just for Jesus? Just for him. You can't be a witness for him when you're a slave to the world or something else. Not the way you ought to be. You know that. If you don't have your motive right, you're not going to see the power show up. But let me tell you something. You get that motive right, you're going to be operating on the power of heaven itself. There's a force that nothing can stand against when you get that motive right. Quit blaming God or me or someone else for what is your own doing. Repent. And then stand up on your feet, set a plan in front of you, we'll help you, and then start walking to the victory that God died to give you. The first one is eternal life. If you're lost, you don't have to be wondering about what the change is that you need to make today. And by the way, I'm not offering you to walk down to this aisle and spend 2 minutes down here at the front and walk away saved. Now, if you understand already what Jesus did for you, if you do, if you know that he died in your place, you know that this is real, you know he did for you everything the Bible says, and you understand it, and you're ready to get saved right now. The only thing left to do is to put your trust in Him. And you can do it right where you stand. You don't have to come down here. Lord, preacher's right. I'm trusting You right now to save me. And what will happen? Same thing will happen when I trusted Him. My spirit, which was dead in sins, was born again. I became alive on the inside. Never been the same since that day. Never will be. Because of Jesus. Because of His power. But you may not be ready for that yet. You may not really understand. You see, you can't trust what you're not sure of. So we'll help you with that too. We'll show you how to know this is true. And you can be sure of it. And then you can trust Him and it'll be real. But that other change, some of you have been saved for many years now. There's still an area that God's been speaking to you about and speaking to you about and speaking to you about and speaking to you about. Every time you turn around, there it is again. And I'm not just talking about for me. I'm talking about every time you turn around, there's God reminding you again of this change that needs to happen. Why not just give it up? Do it for Jesus this time. Really for Him. Some of you have God's calling on your life, but you're stalled. You can't get past this spot because there's something in the way. Whatever that is needs to go away. It needs to be fixed. Does the Lord have power? Can He do it? Sure He does. Will He do it? Sure He will. Will He do it against your will? Not likely. Not likely. Maybe there's some things that you need to repent of. Sometimes it's as simple as getting on your face and say, Lord, I have been wrong, and I'm sorry. Sometimes that's all it is. Sometimes there's going to be a need for some learning new habits. Maybe some accountability. But you know what that is. And you know the help is here for you. Amen? So let's don't be satisfied to stay in the same old rut we've been in. I want to see you rejoice in 2014 with life that is so different than today and so much more wonderful, and victory that is in your life then that's not here today. Isn't that what you want? It's here for the receiving. Let's stand together. Come receive one more marvelous gift from the Lord today as we sing.